We have today a little data which you might be interested in on the subject of imagination. Now, there's a direct coordination between the amount of imagination which an individual has free and the ability of the individual to use his mind. Imagination would be looked to as one of the aberrative factors simply because those attempting to control individuals almost always can be found to suppress the individual's imagination. Where you have a control mechanism going forward, the suppression of imagination is also going forward. Therefore, we would look to imagination to be a control potential. Therefore, it must be an aberrative potential, mustn't it? We take the whole subject of imagination and we find we first have to address the semantics of the word itself, and that is image. Image, the ability to invoke, provoke, perceive an image. Well, imagination actually doesn't include the perceiving so much as it does include the invoking of an image. Invoking a consideration, invoking an image. And that's really what we're talking about when we talk about imagination. The word itself is a very bad word. It is semantically unreal, obviously composed without any real understanding. We have immediately gone into the field which psychology touched once upon a time and let go of very hurriedly. You find it as in the appendixes and so forth of a few old-time psychology textbooks called eidetics. Eidetic recall means as the same as, it means pictured recall. Well, of course, psychology would put it together as eidetics and so forth when we had to do with mock-ups. Well, now, just shows you where 19th century psychology was, because they only went into the field of, with eidetics, the recall factor. They didn't much go into mock-ups at all. And this was almost virgin territory. It's only cursorily mentioned here and there in psychology that anybody actually could make up a picture. So with the Homo sapiens' science of thinking being itself bogged down on anything has to do with images, we would rather look to see the whole field of Homo sapiens somewhat bogged down. This wouldn't then be something they ordinarily talked about, because psychology only depended on some other determined observation in order to go anyplace and do anything. And it never went into any new things, and never has. So this whole field of images, imaging, not only is semantically bad, but it is completely misunderstood out through the field. Here we have people going around who are seeing all of their thoughts in images. Here are people going around taking dictation simply because pictures appear in front of them. Here are people going around reading all of their thoughts off of tapes, which is in essence a sort of an image factor. That's every once in a while you'll find, even today, find somebody with a tape. It's a little reel of tape or a little train of cars or something runs around a track or each car carrying a word. That's rather silly thing that actually is carrying his stream of consciousness in one fashion or another. So we find out a lot. There are a lot of factors in here which we could investigate as an auditor. And those factors include facsimiles, engrams, mock-ups, anything you could think of. But imagination, as a word, includes energy. Obvious. Images. And what we want to talk about is really a little bit outside the field of forming images. In order to create something, you don't have to form an image. Let's be sure we understand that. The action of creation is not necessarily the formation of an image at all. You don't have to make a mock-up to think. In other words, you don't have to have a picture to remember. This is for sure. You don't have to have a facsimile just because you saw something, and you don't have to have an engram just because you got an impact. None of these things are true, that you have to have images, which are made out of energy and have a form, in order to have thoughtful creativeness. But we really ought to be talking about creative knowingness rather than imagination. So you may find it necessary to kind of bail your preclear out of this idea. He thinks that any imagination he had would have to do with images because of the semantics of the thing. He might be in any kind of a condition with regard to this. These are mechanics, and as such, they are not vitally important in the subject of creative knowingness. How many ways would there be able to knowingly create something? A poem does not have to be in words. You don't even need symbols to create poetry. You don't need notes to create music. You don't even need sounds to create music. You don't have to have something in order to do it all. And let's make sure this is fairly straight between thee and me. You don't have to have in order to do. That's a reverse line. And just because you do, you don't have to conclusively then have something. It's not necessary. It doesn't necessarily follow that just because you do, you have to have, or that because you have, you then do. You'll find out that the people are worst off who have to have before they can do. And you'll discover very often in some organization that you have some department or other which is accumulating mess like mad and isn't doing anything. They're always coming around to you saying, we've got to have 80 new Rudy rods. And they only cost $80,000 a piece. And that's to hold the bubble gum or something. And you say, you sure you have to have these? Oh, yes, in order to do so and so, we have to have these things. Phooey. You sit some other department, and it's doing like mad, and you don't hear much from them. You could go in and give them something to do with if you wanted to, but they're getting along. It isn't even a problem getting along with. There is this obsession of having to have before they can do. And this gets to be an obsession. It gets to be a compulsion. And this, again, gets to be an obsession or a compulsion with regard to imagination. That's why, I guess, the semantic imagination is there. It becomes a fixed thing that if you imagine something, you have a picture. Not true. It becomes a fixed thing that if you want to create a play, you would have to have not only words, but paper and pencil and stage and actors. This isn't true either. Thought can be communicated without form. And it is the one baffling thing that greets the Thetan at every front. He himself, without form, is continually addressing things which have form. You'll do something very new and original every time you ask a Thetan. Duplicate nothing. Duplicate nothing? Why, he's never duplicated nothing as long as he's alive. Nothing. Very odd thing. You just ask somebody, duplicate nothing a few times. Their perceptions will change. That's because the Thetan communicates straight through and gets a C to E, where the E is exactly duplicating C. The Thetan is communicating with no form, and of course his communication winds up with no form. So it kind of looks like what the Thetan gets stuck with is form, isn't it? What bogs down an imagination? Being stuck with form. Imagination bogs down with the concentration of attention upon energy and objects. And we can just put that down as a fundamental. That the deterioration of an imagination follows the address of attention to form and object to the exclusion of unfixing the attention. What's wrong with your preclear? A lot of things could be wrong with him, but we take up this factor of attention. We're immediately below the point of viewpoints. The first mechanic is viewpoint, and then we get attention as an immediate factor in there. We get actually cause and effect really has attention entering into it. Attention interweaves all through the entire science. It sort of stands there as an understood factor in an awful lot of these things. We mustn't overlook it just because it's an understood factor. So attention could be said to be fixable on spaces, energies, and objects. But we can't say that it really fixes on spaces because it creates spaces. And so you could get it fixed on a spot in space. And that would be the highest level of fixation of attention. Would not be upon something, really, as much as a spot in space. Call your attention to the professional auditor's bulletins, one of which discusses this about a little dog who gets hit and thereafter avoids the spot where he's hit and doesn't show any shyness at all of either the person who hits him or the automobile that hit him. But he avoids that spot. The spot in space is the thing. Now, the one thing that you don't wipe out is spots in space, and this is why universes get coincided. So, fixation upon spots in space itself begins the deterioration of imagination, or you might say creative knowingness. You would get that as the first manifestation, a fixation on a spot in space. Well, naturally, to be aberrative by other definition, it would have to be an other determined fix, wouldn't it? It had to be something that compelled something's attention on a spot in space. There had to be other determinism entering into it at all in order to get any aberrative factor out of it. It isn't that all other determinism is aberrative. It's the fact that where you have an aberrative factor, you also have entering into it uniformly other determinism. It's a sort of a common denominator to aberration, which is not in itself blamable for all aberration. Now, you'd have no randomity at all if you never had any other determinism. Believe me, there'd never be any interest in anything. So you could also blame interest on other determinism. Now, where you get a spot in space which has been the scene of, you might say, the point of an impact, an accident, or other determined fixation, you get an aberrative spot in space. And it's when these spots in space between two universes are made to coincide that you get a stick on the time track. Don't look for it to stick on objects or energies. Let's just skip objects and energies and recognize this spot and space manifestation. Now we have the preclears universe and we have the physical universe. And here is a spot in space called 9th and Chattanooga Avenue. And the preclear crosses the street at 9th and Chattanooga and trips over a dog and hits his head on the pavement. The preclear's universe carries now a spatial idea of 9th and Chattanooga Avenue, coinciding with the physical universe, 9th and Chattanooga Avenue. We've got two universes, and the only place they coincide, actually, are 9th and Chattanooga Avenue, because we now have, in the preclear's universe, 9th and Chattanooga Avenue impact, spot in space. That's in the preclear's universe now. Now, the easiest way to demonstrate this, you ask somebody, where's your childhood home? And he'll say, over there. Yeah, over there. Or, well, you say, now, look, tell me now, where is your childhood home? Well, you know, it's a funny thing. I really know that it's in Alabama, but, you know, it's right there. It's not in Alabama. It's out there about 5 feet to the left. What the dickens? What's his childhood universe doing out there 5 feet to the left when it's actually in Alabama? Childhood home sitting right there. Therefore, you got a universe coincidence. The preclear's own universe coincides with the physical universe in many impacts. And then they don't stay coincided. The preclear goes around with a picture of the physical universe, you might say, basis of which picture is your coincided impacts. The preclear's own universe takes on the color and complexion of the physical universe and is a map and pattern of the impacts which the preclear has suffered in the physical universe. But it's basically a pattern of spots in space where impacts have occurred. This is elementary. You ask somebody to look around and find out where his mother is. Well, actually, his mother is in northern Canada or something of the sort, or buried in Mexico City or something. Why is it that he immediately spots his mother as being somewhere in his own vicinity? You ask, what other people are not present, S-O-P-H-C? The guy will say very comfortably, oh, my father isn't present, and George isn't present, and Bill and Tom and Dick and Harry, these are not present, and so isn't present. You say, what's the matter? Well, my mother is present, and she has been here for years. She stands around, she walks around in the same room with me, and so forth. She's right here. Well, what's Mother doing in this room? That isn't physical universe location. That's his universe location. Actually, Mother is in Mexico. Now, there's a process known as SOP8D, which takes up this problem, which is an elementary process. So far as the actual running of it is concerned, but it is a very powerful process, if a very long process. And it is addressed exclusively to separating out the spots of coincidence, where the pre-clear's universe is coincided with other universes and the physical universe. Maybe the pre-clear now is in somebody else's universe. How did he get there? Well, there were so darn many impacts on this subject that he at length has his own universe transferring and becoming the other universe. You know, his own universe has dwindled to such a small extent that the only way he'd have a map is to have somebody else's universe. You know, he says Papa's universe. You find your pre-clear in Papa's universe. Yeah, actually, if he really has Papa's universe, he will actually see only Papa's mock-ups. Quite curious. This is phenomena that's very curious, but it very greatly exceeds even the phenomena of facsimiles and engrams and all the rest of that. We get, actually, the formation of universes, how they're built up, how a universe begins to form around a pre-clear. And the first part of its formation is the coincidence of spots in space. In the messed universe, he gets hit many times, and in his own universe, he's actually starting to build a duplicate of the messed universe. And its duplication is in terms of spots in space. When you get this thing to duplicate perfectly, that is to say, if you had all of these spots in space just coincided again between the pre-clear's own universe and the physical universe, they'd blow. The two universes would blow apart. But where the pre-clear's universe has many times been impacted by the physical universe, the pre-clear has then pulled his universe in. The physical universe wouldn't pull in. But his own universe pulls in. And it looks to him like he's got all these spots in space where he was hit in the physical universe, and they're right in front of his face and back of his head, and there are all kinds of places that are immediately in his locale. He thinks that New York City is 5 feet away and his mother is standing in back of him and so forth. All of this has to do with is that he's got a coincidence of spots in space. His own universe has shrunk. It gets tinier and tinier and tinier and tinier. Well, you could stretch his own universe until it again coincided with the physical universe, and where all the spots in space coincided. At that time, these two universes would spring. Well, the simple matter of doing this is just asking him where so-and-so or such-and-such would be safe. Of course, the basis of any universe is a viewpoint. Once you have granted the existence of a viewpoint, there then can be space emanating from that viewpoint. You have selected out an orientation point. Let's say you've lost various actual physical universe points, and then you began to rely on people, you know, you use people for anchor points, and people to look from points. If your pre-clear is looking from Mama, you get mighty strange space because it's Mama's space, and at that time the pre-clear will get Mama's mock-ups. You get Mama's facsimiles. He will see them just as clear as can be. And if he doesn't like this, he'll then turn it all black, too. He'll key in a prenatal or do something of the sort to adjust this situation. Where we have universes, we have, inseparably from the whole problem of universes, spots in space. I don't want you to forget this one. We've actually got a three-dimensional coincidence of two universes, succeeded by the withdrawal by the pre-clear of his own universe from the universe he was duplicating. And we finally get him with a miniature. He thinks it's a picture of the physical universe. It's not. It's his own universe shrunk in. He's withdrawn it from the physical universe. Now, how do we get these to separate? Just by running concepts, flows? No. Concepts, flows, things like that won't solve this. How would we really get these things separated? We'd have to spot spots in space to separate them, wouldn't we? Now, if a pre-clear can't spot spots in space anymore at all, if it makes him dizzy or sick just to indicate a spot in space in the room, you get a pre-clear into a lot of picnics doing this. You ask him, find a spot in this room's space, and he will tell you by the hour, then, that he can't locate that. He won't tell you maybe by the hour if you're a good auditor. He'll look for that spot, and he'll say, well, you know, I only can really locate this spot in relationship to the objects in the room. That's the only way I know that spot is there. And so on, so it really isn't there. You ask him to locate the same spot several times, and he keeps shifting on it. He indicates different spots, and so on. He has spot-in-space trouble. The solution, then, really, to the separation of universes is the problem of spotting space. But when you do this, you run into a mass problem. Because you start spotting space, you are uncondensing any preclear who's simply holding on to mass and not creating any new mass. You're uncondensing his havingness. So every time you try to uncondense this preclear, you tear his havingness to ribbons, and he starts to object to this. And you've got to get him up to a point where he can spot a spot in space and create new havingness, both without any liability. When you first start this in, you ask him to spot a spot in space, spot another spot in space, spot another spot in space. He starts getting sick. That's because you're just tearing his havingness apart. He doesn't think of himself as able to rig up new havingness, therefore he's holding on to old havingness. All right? Now we say, remedy havingness, remedy havingness, remedy havingness. When we first start in, we find out he's condensing space in order to remedy havingness. He condenses space and condenses space and condenses space. After a while, he'll get so he can spot spots in space, and he can create new havingness almost independently of each other. He no longer, every time he spots a spot in space, tears his bank apart. See, he doesn't have to look into the bank to get some energy to spot out in space, or, you know, he isn't confused anymore. He doesn't have to condense existing space in order to have something. He doesn't have to reuse his energy. You're getting him out of the idea of conserving energy when you're doing this. And so we've got these two alternate points that every time you ask somebody to spot spots in space, you start in, at least early in the case, by tearing his havingness up, so you have to remedy the situation by remedying his havingness, as you will find in PAB 23, I think it is, or one such PAB, it's a remedy of havingness. And you'll have this problem with any preclear who is having any difficulty, that every time he starts to spot spots in space to put two universes back into coincidence and so separate them normally or naturally. You see, they're other determinedly separated. You know, his universe is driven in by other determinations which have impacted him. And to restore this and bring a normal condition, you'd have to be able to get him to be at least willing to stretch his universe all over the mesh universe again and make all the spots in space coincide where they have been. If you could do this easily and normally, why, of course, his universe and the mesh universe would fly apart. Actually, this is a mechanical approach. This is much lower than considering. This is not an optimum approach. This is a mechanical approach. But it is a mechanic which an auditor has to understand and certainly should be able to run. Now, spotting spots in space, then, will actually unstick people from the track. What is the track? Why is the time track and facsimiles there? Well, his facsimiles, his objects, which are representing by image his past experiences, have drawn in on him. And the spot in space is still out there. The spot of impact actually still exists. I don't care if it happened 8 billion years ago or yesterday. It still exists. That's the one thing that doesn't get washed out. Now, you audit facsimiles. You do anything you want to. And you neglect the spot in space, your preclear is going to hang up someplace. How do you get rid of a spot in space? You haven't spotted. Q&A. Easiest process there is. But remember, when you do it, you have to remedy havingness. 8D goes much further than this. It puts in this factor, senior survival, which I was talking to you about in the last lecture. You have senior survival. Something is seniorly surviving to him. It has a better and greater survival factor than he has. And we get into such things as compulsive goals. A goal is greater than the guy. Anytime he minds this happening, a goal can always be greater than a guy, but anytime he minds this happening, it's because it's a compulsive, it's an obsessive, it's an other determined goal, which he is safeguarding and taking care of practically over his own dead body. You know, he'd rather be dead than give this thing any more survival, and he goes right on working through life, giving it more and more survival. Similarly, every time he has significant spaces all over the place, you have senior survivals in terms of space. Mesh universe space has a senior survival of the preclear space. They aren't coincided anymore. The preclear space is all pulled in. The mesh universe is still stretched out there. Somewhere these spots in space coincide. Where do they coincide? Well, it's up to the auditor to find out. How would he find out? He actually doesn't even have to be significant about it. He just has a preclear start spotting spots in space. When the preclear comes able at this, he will be able to do such things as this. He all of a sudden gets a picture of his mother. And you say, okay, you say you got a picture of your mother. Now, just let's locate your mother in mesh universe space. Let's just point in that direction and get the idea of the distance to that spot. Okay, he says, bing. If you're in really good shape, and mother appeared just because he thought of mother, why, mother would immediately coincide on the actual spots in space where he's coincided with Mother. It'd just run out right there, bing, and he'd no longer have any mock-up of Mother haunting him. But if this isn't done, Mother will, to some degree, continue to haunt him because you haven't remedied the spot in space. You say, now indicate the spot in space where you were born. Indicate the middle of this room, the spot in space where you were born. Middle of this room. Space where you're born. Middle of this room. Space where you're born. Middle of this room. Space where you're born. You'll start to get sick about this time. You've got to remedy his havingness. You've just uncondensed a lot of havingness, you see. And you'll have to remedy havingness. Find out what's acceptable to him. Well, you can be very significant and have some kind of birth be acceptable to him if you want to. That's the subject you're dealing with. You don't have to do that, really. Actually, 8 anchor points of any kind brought in will do that. But an acceptable birth, you know, something being born in a cane mill or being born at the bottom of a muddy river or being strangled to death or being delivered by alligators or any kind of an acceptable birth. And just having remedy, this is happiness, then spot the space where he was born. Well, you'll find that every time he spots this space, it's probably a little further out there someplace. But sometimes it goes out and then comes in where he is and then goes out again. We're talking now about the fundamentals of change of space as a process. Now, as long as an individual's attention, this is spotting space, which is a variety of change of space, which we'll take up shortly. But every time your preclear has any kind of an image which is appearing before him involuntarily, it belongs in some spot in space someplace. And it won't go away completely unless you spot the space in which it belongs. If you wanted to make it go away, just bing, just spot where it belongs, and it goes. Well, 8D is a complicated method of doing this. It's a very simple method. You just ask him where so-and-so would be safe. And he starts putting this person around in all the impact spots in space which are anyway coincided with the person about whom you're speaking. You do an E-meter assessment, and you go over Papa, Mama, this, that, so-and-so, and you find out the most significant person on the case, and then you ask them where this person would be safe. There's several earlier steps to SOP 8D, but this is all included in your kit. And you just spot the spots. You ask him to spot places where so-and-so would be safe. Well, that's where so-and-so has overcome the preclear. And the first thing you say, well, his father's never lived in this house. What's he doing spotting this house? Well, he's not spotting the house. He's spotting his own universe spots. And finally, this goes out further and further and further and further and further. And then father's way over there someplace, and he's here. And then father may be right here for a few spots and then be way over there again and stay there. You get this separation of terminals. The collapse of terminals is simply this mechanism of spots in space. That's how terminals collapse. The Washington Monument is right where the preclear is. In other words, the Washington Monument space has collapsed on the place where the preclear is. That's all there is to that. He's unable to hold and impose these distances anymore. Now, 8D is devoted to a solution to these. So is all change of space processing devoted to a solution to these. 8D enters in the idea of senior survival. It enters in one of the most basic mechanics of what life's trying to do. You pick the things which the individual objects to surviving, such as goals, anything on the sex to no scale, people and so on, asking where it'd be safe. Long process, an arduous process, but well worth doing. And it produces quite stable results. After you've done such a process for a while, though, and you haven't remedied the havingness, your preclear's liable to get into trouble. But this 8D works without too much havingness remedy. You don't have to concentrate on it. Where it is surviving, or where it would be safe, where such and such would be safe, actually in itself has a tendency to remedy the happiness. So it's a simpler process. But any time you spot space, or any time you spot locations in space, remember that you undoubtedly, sooner or later, have to remedy some happiness. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to separate those coincident points between the preclear's universe and the physical universe where a mutual impact has occurred. And then we get the two universes sprung apart. And that's the mechanical way of going about it.